It's a great day for talk radio. The John Oakley Show on AM 640.
734. Hey, good morning. It's the midweek Wednesday. Yep. Bill Waters just said something arresting. Don't anticipate a playoff run until 2013. Unbelievable. I mean, that time horizon, although, you know, when you look back, years just clip by. So maybe we can sit here and continue to suffer through, you know, three, four more seasons of ineptitude. But the Pan Am Games are coming up in 2015, and while that seems like a far way off, you know, the folks who are organizing have got to get, like, spades and shovels into the ground and get their ducks all in a row. Vancouver taught us that, and boy, how successful was that? They're still basking in the afterglow, although some are saying when the cost comes in and is fully realized, there's going to be some kind of a significant hangover. Well, when it comes to our Pan Am Games for 2015, just wondering to what degree you're supportive, if at all, and are you looking forward? If it means a dedicated tax to maybe make up some of the monies, how would you feel about that? And will the benefits accrue really to Torontonians? Things like, you know, affordable housing from the Athletes' Village on the West Donlands. These are the talking points, and joining us this morning to help flesh it out more fully, Rob Granitstein, editorial page editor at the Toronto Sun. Hey, Robbie, good morning.
Morning, how are you?
Great, thanks. Also got Paul McKeever with us, leader of the No Tax for Pan Am campaign. Paul, good morning to you.
Morning, John.
All right, let me start with Rob, because Rob, you said something very bullish about the Pan Am Games. Lessons from Vancouver, you penned the other day in your piece in the Sun. In a nutshell, you think, you know, that we can replicate some of the magic that Vancouver felt?
I think we can replicate some of it. Let's be clear, we're not holding an Olympics. It's not, NBC's not coming, Stephen Colbert's not coming, but there's a lot this city needs. One of the big things the city needs is a deadline to get things done, and Pan Am Games gives you that. Our sports infrastructure is terrible. We have two 50-meter pools. One's actually not quite 50 meters. The other one leaks. But we have so many needs in this city, there's no question. How do you get it done? You bring in things like the Pan Am Games, and then, you know, that's a reason for other levels of government to start funding the city, and off we go. Is it going to be Vancouver? No. Can it be a great party? I think it can be.
Apart from the party, though, you're saying it'll be a boon to infrastructure?
Oh, for sure, because things like the West Donlands, which is supposed to be built out, now has a deadline of 2015. You have to get that Athletes' Village done. You'll get new sports infrastructure. You'll get the pools. You'll get tracks. Hamilton will get a new stadium. There'll be new fields. There'll be all sorts of things. Because this city, I mean, look at our rinks. We've built one new rink in the past 25 years in Toronto. Our needs are so great on the sports side. And, you know what, we do need a deadline in this city. We need the ability to get things done. And if you look at our waterfront, we just drag things out and drag things out. Give us a hard deadline. We'll go. We'll get it done.
All right. You're very optimistic on this project, bullish. He says it's a boon to infrastructure. Paul McKeever, is he right or wrong?
It's a boon to building companies. It's going to be a horrible, horrible impact on taxpayers. I mean, think about this. We're not going to have anything as big as the Olympics, but our initial budget estimate is twice as big as the initial $874 million budget estimate for the Olympics. They budgeted $874 million as a balanced budget and ended up with a cost of something like $6 billion. The estimated cost for security at $1.4 million and ended up paying about $900 million. Our Ontario bid book, Toronto bid book, is $1.4 billion as the initial bid. Now, if we take that compare that to the $874 that was budgeted by the Vancouver bid, we're looking for a walloping, probably in the range of $12 billion. If we take the same proportion of misrepresentation of the actual cost, so we're not getting Colbert, but we're getting a huge, potentially $6 to $12 billion deficit, and all of the money will be borrowed because the government's currently running a double-digit deficit already. We're borrowing about $23 billion a year already. There is no surplus to spend on this, and yet Ontario has promised to catch any deficit, to cover any deficit. It's horrible.
All right, that's the key point. I mean, you're projecting cost overruns, and they almost seem an inevitability in cases like this, you know, where you go in with an original bid or what you say it's going to be, and then the costs skyrocket. If that's the case, to what extent will Toronto itself be on the hook Paul McKeever for these costs, these overruns?
Well, Toronto itself actually doesn't have to pay much. This is a huge transfer of wealth from the federal government, from the provincial government. They're each kicking in about a half billion. But, of course, the bulk of it is going to be borne by the Ontario taxpayer at large, because the guarantee is where all of the money gets hidden. Okay, so you say 1.7, everyone agrees to put in their money on that bid, on that basis, on that budget. And then when the overruns happen, that all falls onto the lap of Ontarians, not just Torontonians, but right across the province. So what this really is an infrastructure project where Toronto gets to take money from BC, from Newfoundland, and then in the end, Ontario picks up the tab to build up these. It's not just Toronto, by the way. It's Hamilton. There's various venues, for example,
the benefits would accrue to Toronto. Now, Rob
Granite.
All right,
exactly.
Well, should we then be complaining? Rob Granitstein, you cite Vancouver Mayor Robertson suggesting that these things have been a boon to Vancouver, even though they've got these cost overruns. The games themselves helped insulate the city against the recession and were a bonanza for many local businesses.
Yeah, and you know what? The money can be spent in Vancouver or it can be spent in Toronto. So why don't we go get some of that money? Isn't that what Toronto taxpayers want? We don't want to just send money out and say, oh, good. Go build Calgary, go build Vancouver. Let's get some of it here. And, you know, I spend a lot of time in Calgary, and I see the Olympic legacy there, which is, you know, my three-year-old learned to skate on the ice at the Olympic Oval. He learned to ski on Canada Olympic Park ski hills. Those are great facilities. That is a great fit town. Toronto could use some of that. And so let's get the money spent here instead of elsewhere.
Let's see how the folks feel about it. Hang on to it, gentlemen. You've got both sides of the equation represented here this morning, and Rob Granitstein from The Sun suggesting the Vancouver Olympics, while it won't exactly be Olympian in nature, the Pan Am Games could accrue to our benefit as well. Paul McKeever, not so bullish. There's a legacy, but there's also legacy costs, and the cost overruns could also be an onerous tax on the folks in Ontario, outside the immediate area of Toronto, of course. So do you favor the Pan Am Games? We're ramping up early. I mean, based on Vancouver's experience, are you supportive and looking forward to the games in Toronto, or do you think that this is going to be maybe misspent dollars, tax dollars, a misappropriation of much-needed funding? Let's get your thoughts. 870-6400, star 640 on cell.
Call the John Oakley Show at 416-870-6400 or star 640 on cell. The John Oakley Show, AM 640.
745, Lou Skeezus will be joining us before the top of the hour. Give us an insight into business and economics and all the rest. You know, economics plays a role in the discussion we're having right now. Needless to say, it's about staging the 2015 Pan Am Games. Now, the Olympics may have taught us from Vancouver's experience that this can be done right. And Rob Granitstein argues in a recent piece in The Sun that we ought to take from that template and ensure that Toronto also stages something world-class and has a great time in the offing. But the other side of the equation is the cost, the legacy costs, as well as the legacy of infrastructure. And Paul McKeever bringing that to mind. He, the leader of the No Tax for Pan Am campaign. And we're getting your thoughts. But before we do that, I mean, Paul, I'm curious about the title, No Tax for Pan Am campaign. Are you suggesting there'd be a dedicated tax to stage these games?
No, quite the opposite. We're in favor of the games, but we want them to be run like they were run in California. I'm not an expert in the California bid, but a friend of mine is. But the point is that those games were run without the aid of government money. In other words, let those who attend the games and who want to support the games, support the games, and let those who are merely paying taxes so that the governments can keep the roads safe and sound do that. You know, it's good to have a party. But, you know, you should have a party by going to your own refrigerator for the beer. Don't come into your neighbor's house, grab his beer, and say, see you later, we're having a great party. You know, most of the people will not be attending these events. There won't be people from, for example, BC attending Toronto, not in large numbers. And if you look at the cost, for example, just of a hockey ticket, some of these games in BC, I see it's hot quotes of $5,000 for a ticket. So this is not the kind of thing where everyone's going to be able to enjoy it. This is the kind of thing where people from all over the world will have subsidized tickets, courtesy of the Ontario, the Toronto, and the federal taxpayer. It's a large ripoff that should not be tax funded. It should be privately funded.
But if you're doing this for 2 weeks, then you're doing it for the wrong reason. If you're doing it just for the games, then you've totally missed the boat. This is about setting us up with sports infrastructure for the people who live in Toronto and Markham and Hamilton going forward, because that's the legacy. That is, okay, we have places to swim, we have places to run, we have places to play squash or whatever the games are, the rowing, the kayaking, all those things, which Our facilities aren't good enough now. Look at the past Olympic summer and winter. How many Toronto athletes were at those games? Not enough, because we don't have the good facilities here in Toronto that we need. And if you're doing it for 2 weeks, it's a total miss. And on his numbers, you have to take his numbers with a grain of salt, because he's just extrapolating like crazy. He has no idea. I mean, obviously there's a budget. Obviously these things always seem to go over budget. But, you know, you're just going to say, well, the budget's $1.8 billion, so it's going to be $12 billion? Yeah, I don't think so.
But, Paul, you know, the other thing, if I can interject, and then we'll take some calls, because we've got a lot of folks who wanted to weigh in on this. I mean, to Rob's point, you know, the Athletes Village for the couple of weeks being built on the West Donlands area that is now vacant at the foot of the, or the mouth of the Don River, that's going to be affordable housing or low-cost housing. How doesn't that accrue as a benefit to people who may not care about the games themselves? That's subsidized housing.
Right.
All right, so you're defeating your own argument.
No, quite to the opposite. Subsidized housing is not... I mean, look, at all of these things that Rob said are correct, if it's a two-week project, et cetera. But the thing is, why don't we just be honest about it then, instead of saying, well, this is going to be a great party, so it's worth it. Why not say, hey, everybody, do you want to spend $12 billion right now on racetracks, on social housing, et cetera? The answer would be no. Otherwise, it would be in the budget of Ontario.
But you see, we'd never get anything started that way. This at least creates the political will to do something. As Rob says, you need a deadline. Let's find out how the folks feel. Tony, we'll take your call. Good morning, Oakley Show.
You know, I'm for any time the government will put anything towards amateur sports. I agree totally. We need facilities all over Canada to support our amateur athletes. Time and time again, they get walked over. And as for the naysayers, it doesn't matter what you do. They'll always find something to complain about. You know what? To me, you got to spend the money. You got to spend the money to improve our facilities. You know what? Get it done. And you're right. Without having an event like this, it'll never get done. So I'm all for it. Yes, it's going to come into our pockets. But you know what? I'm one of the guys paying for that, too, and I totally agree with it.
All right. I appreciate your call, Tony. How about Steve in Toronto? Go ahead, Oakley Show, Steve.
It can be done, but what we need to do is we need to hire a project manager to get this done properly. And that's my only key thing, because it will go over budget, but let's do it right.
All right. I guess everybody's bracing. I'm sorry?
I think he's right. I think he's dead right. You got to have good people in charge, and the province, who is backing it up, has hired Ian Troop, who seems to have a great resume and should be a good guy to crack the whip. And you know, if you don't have good people, it's just going to run out of control.
Hey, well, Robbie. That's
a good point, though, John. I mean, even the budget oversight people, the people who were trying to do it right in Vancouver, they went over budget in their own offices by millions of dollars.
Rob writes, and you're citing Mayor Robertson out in Vancouver, over 10 years, Vancouver expects to have made its money back.
Yes.
That's a pretty good return on investment if over 10 years you're going to make your money back. And then you've got these legacy, like the rail link to the airport in Vancouver. You've got the Sea to Sky Highway that's been improved and widened. I mean, wouldn't we want something akin to that here in Toronto, Paul?
All of those things need to be maintained. And the politicians who say we'll make our money back, A, are not telling you the truth, but B, are never taking into account that someone has to clean that pool, fix that road, plow that road, and et cetera. There's no way
that's
they're
job creation,
back.
Paul. You know, well, what is it if not job creation? Do you think that's... Wait a minute. You think that's a drag on the economy and detrimental?
Absolutely. We're spending... We're just setting ourselves up for more costs. This is great if you want to make government bigger and make our overhead even higher at a time when we can't even rein in a $23 billion deficit. It's absolute craziness.
So let's do nothing and live in our basements the rest of our lives.
No, well, let's get the budget down to zero first, and the deficit down to zero first, and then think about whether we want to start doing things like this.
Yeah, okay, well, it'll be a case like 96 again, bread not circuses, or a low deficit, zero deficit not circuses. And again, Rob Granitstein points out, it's not just about the economics, it's an exercise in feel-goodism, and Vancouver right now, it's a shot in the arm, and maybe that civic pride is going to carry them through this next millennium. Hey, listen, guys, I appreciate your time and your insight. It's still a ways off, but we've started the talking points already. Rob Granitstein, editorial page editor at the Toronto Sun, and Paul McKeever, leader of the No Tax for Pan Am campaign. Thank you both.
Thank you.
All right, and we'll keep it going here with Lou Skeezes talking the economics of immigration. And after 8 o'clock this morning, we'll be talking about free speech, even in cases of odious, over-the-top websites like the one up at York University, or the student from York University had posted. I mean, does that get free speech protection? That's all coming up on The Oakley Show, AM 640 at 752.